Good afternoon. Welcome on in to Kildare Focus. It's Thursday, the 20th of April. You're listening to KFM. It's Caoimhe Hearney with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up on today's show, we'll be speaking to Dr. Conor Tellure. He's HICWA's chief scientist. HICWA launches a public consultation on adding the chickenpox vaccine to the childhood immunisation schedule. Then we will speak to Chris Kelly. He's an Easy Go based in Maynooth. He's originally from Newbridge. Chris has qualified for the final of the EY Ireland Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. Then we'll speak to Blake Boland, multimedia specialist at the AA. Fuel prices are the lowest priced since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, but they are set to rise by around 20% per litre at the end of 2023, so this year. And then we'll speak to Lucy Alexia Dube. She's a social entrepreneur. Social Entrepreneurs Ireland are seeking to support people from Kildare with an idea to solve a social problem. So if you do have any ideas, do let me know. 0833 97 97 97. Of course, you can get us on the email studio@kfmradio.com, or you can call in 045 898 999.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Hearney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, HICWA is launching a public consultation on adding the chickenpox vaccine to childhood immunisation schedules. And I'm joined now on the line by Dr. Conor Tellure. He's HICWA's chief scientist. Good afternoon, Dr. Tellure.
Hi, good afternoon, Caoimhe.
It's very interesting, Conor, because anyone who's been abroad will know that this seems to be fairly mainstream in other jurisdictions, doesn't it?
Well, there are a number of European countries that have brought in varicella or chickenpox vaccination over the last 20 years, and countries that we'd be very familiar with, like Finland, Germany, Italy and Spain. So it's not unprecedented, and it is quite a few of the countries brought it in the last 6-7 years, so it's becoming more widespread.
Okay, so why only now, and what are the benefits, I suppose, for children to get this vaccine?
Well, in terms of why now, what we've had is that certain people will be offered varicella vaccination, chickenpox vaccination in Ireland, and that would be, for instance, healthcare workers who are dealing with children who are immunocompromised or who might be quite susceptible to infection. And similarly, pregnant women or women who intend to become pregnant who haven't had chickenpox before. So there would be certain groups who are offered it, but it hasn't been widespread. And I suppose there's a cultural perception maybe that chickenpox is quite benign and doesn't lead to any problems. So I think up until now, people have been quite happy that there wasn't widespread vaccination. But actually, if you look at the numbers, about one in every 250 people who get chickenpox wind up in hospital with it. And they can have quite serious complications from chickenpox. So there are definitely benefits to offering vaccination.
Okay, and from the one in 250, because we don't know, like, it's usually children that have chickenpox, or correct me if I'm wrong, what is the age cohort of the people ending up in hospital?
Well, actually, those who end up in hospital are primarily infants and young children.
Right, okay.
So people who get it quite young. So it's potentially very serious. But for most people, obviously, it's a fairly mild course of disease that they get. But you do have to isolate for a week. And that does mean that a parent or guardian, because it is mostly children we're talking about, it is a parent or guardian who will have to take time off work to be at home and mind their child. And there are quite major implications for the economy in people having to take so much time off work.
Mm-hmm. I know you're saying that it's perceived to be, you know, a fairly benign thing to get. And I do remember when I was younger, you know, being brought, or cousins of mine being brought to a house where there's chickenpox so that they can get chickenpox and everyone can get it out of the way. Obviously, we know that some people do end up in hospital and it can be serious. But would there be any side effects to giving children this vaccine?
So the vaccine is very safe, and the thing is that it's been around for about 50 years now, and certainly in the US they introduced chickenpox vaccination back in the 90s. So we have a very long run of data that we can look at to see about the safety of these vaccines, and they are very safe. And they're also very effective, particularly if you get two doses of the vaccine, then it's quite likely to prevent you from getting chickenpox at all. If you get only one dose of the vaccine, there's the possibility that you'll still get it, but it'll be a lot less severe. The risk of any severe outcomes are a lot lower. So the countries, the European countries that have brought in chickenpox vaccination, they all have a two-dose schedule. So you get one dose and then typically at about age one, so at about 12 months, and then you may get a second dose within 2 or 3 months of that, or some of them have a later second dose. So they do it when children start primary school at about age five. So they put a lag in between the first and the second dose. But that's something that the Department of Health would have to consider and which approach they would take if they bring in chickenpox vaccination.
Okay, so it will be rolled in with other vaccines maybe, and we're not sure exactly what age, but around what you said there. How quickly might this come on stream? I know we're only at the consultation stage, but would you expect that it will get the green light?
It's quite likely that it will, for a couple of reasons. One is that because it has been shown to be safe and effective, also because it represents good value for money. And if you look at it from a societal perspective, it's actually cost saving because of the fact that you have so many people who will not have to take time off work to mind sick children. So there are a number of benefits, so it's quite likely, but we couldn't predetermine what the outcome would be. It's for the Minister for Health to make a decision. So what we would do at this point is we have the public consultation, which will run until the 29th of May, and then the feedback we get from the public consultation, we will look to make changes to the report based on that. And then in July, we would anticipate getting approval from the Board of HICWA to publish, and at that point, we would provide the advice to the Minister for Health and publish the report at the same time. So that will be 2023, and it's likely that they would look to implement in either 2024 or 2025 that they would roll it out as part of the immunisation programme.
Okay, so about a year and a half or 2 years away. I understand, Conor, it is available at the moment, the chickenpox vaccine, but you would have to pay for it if you wanted it for your child.
Yes, so people are availing of the chickenpox vaccine at the moment privately, as you say, and there are different providers who have made it available at a cost to the individual. But this would mean that it would be part of the immunisation schedule, so everyone who is eligible would be entitled to go, and it would be free at the point of care, so you wouldn't have to pay to receive the vaccine.
Okay, very good. Is there any idea how much the cost is at the moment for people to avail of it, or would you?
I couldn't say precisely. I mean, anecdotally, you were talking about in the region of €200.
Right. Okay.
Is what seems to be advertised. Some are more expensive, some are less expensive, and clearly, if you implement it as part of the immunisation schedule, there's sort of an economy of scale. So it would cost less to the state per vaccinated child than it would if individuals go privately.
For people who get chickenpox when they're older, is it you hear that it's vastly more dangerous? Is that true?
There is increasing risk as you get older of complications, and certainly of serious complications. But the reality is that about 95% of people who aren't vaccinated will get chickenpox at some point, and the vast majority of those get it before the age of 15. Yeah. So very few older people get chickenpox, so we have very small numbers to kind of look at the impact. It really is a disease of childhood in Ireland.
Okay, well, that is Dr. Conor Tellure. He's HICWA's chief scientist there. Thank you very much, Conor, for your time. With that news that HICWA is launching a public consultation on adding the chickenpox vaccine to the childhood immunisation schedule. Let me know what you think. 0833 97 97 97. I remember getting chickenpox. I'm pretty sure I still have a few scars, like, you know, when you're a child and you pick, and oh, it's terrible. And it's an awful, like, itchy feeling that you have. So it would be great if we were able to eradicate that, or you know, not always, or we can't say for sure that we'd always be able to eradicate it, but as we know, vaccines do bring down the chance of getting it. Maybe some people out there have already got their children vaccinated against chickenpox, so do let me know if you have. 0833 97 97 97. Now, scientists may have found the reason why our hair turns grey as we age. A new study suggests stem cells may get stuck and lose their ability to maintain hair colour as our locks age. Certain stem cells, cells that can develop into many different cell types, have a unique ability to move between growth compartments in our hair follicles. It is these cells that lose the ability to move with age, paving the way for grey hair. So this is according to research led by New York University's Grossman School of Medicine, focused on cells in the skin of mice that are also found in humans, called melanocyte stems. It's probably wrong. The scientists suggest that if their findings hold true for humans, it could open up a potential way to reverse or prevent the greying of hair. So some good news there. Hair colour is controlled by whether continually multiplying pools of this certain stem cell within hair follicles allow the signal to become mature cells that make the protein pigments responsible for colour. The study published in the journal Nature found that during normal hair growth, such cells continually move back and forth as they travel between compartments in the developing hair follicles. So some good news there. We might be able to reverse the grey hairs or stop them altogether. And if my friends are listening in, they'll be laughing, because back when I was at a wedding there about a month ago, we were getting our hair done and I was sitting there and I was telling the lady, and she was like, "Oh, is this your natural hair colour?" And I said, yeah, I have no greys yet, yeah. So she said, "Oh, that's great." And we were all chatting about the grey hair, and then 2 minutes later she turns around and she says, "I hate to break it to you, I'm after finding a grey hair up the back of your head." So I had to eat humble pie. So that was my first grey hair. So I got her to pull it out, and I actually kept it. Now I have it at home. This actually ties in well with my earlier conversations with Ben Atkinson on the Breakfast Show, where he was asking me, am I sentimental? And I was telling him that I keep a lot of random stuff. And I'm after keeping my first grey hair. So there you go. Let me know what age you went grey at. 0833 97 97 97. And some people go grey in their teens. I have friends, and my poor beloved, he went grey fairly early 20s, and he's greying up all the time. But you know what? It doesn't take away from him. He's still as good looking as ever. Coming up after the break, we'll be speaking to Chris Kelly, Easy Go, based in Maynooth. Well, he has qualified for the final of the EY Ireland Entrepreneur of the Year. So make sure you stay tuned and do not go away.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, Chris Kelly, he is based over in Maynooth and he is the founder of Easy Go. Chris has qualified for the final of the EY Ireland Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. And Chris joins me now on the line. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Caoimhe. How are you?
I'm delighted. I'm great. And I'm delighted to have you on, Chris. Tell us a little bit about Easy Go for people who don't know the business.
OK, so Easy Go is an EV charging company. We install charge points in the homes, in workplaces, and on the streets. If you drive an electric car, you will probably want to charge it when you're out and about. Mm. And we have, through our app and joining EasyGo, we'll give you access to all of the public charge points, whether they're EasyGo charge points, whether they are ESB eCars charge points or Ionity charge points. You can start them all through our system.
Okay, very good. Tell us, Chris, how did you come up with the idea for this business? And did you always have the entrepreneurial streak in you?
Yeah, well, you could say I did always have the entrepreneurial streak through various businesses I've had in the past. Mm. But with the EV side, I started the business 8 years ago.
Okay.
And a lot of people said, "You're crazy. That'll never take off."
Little did they know, Chris,
But look, to be fair, I didn't really know myself at this stage or at that stage where it would lead to with us. But, I had the vision to actually just, create a network, a private network. I did see that there was a gap there and a need for an EV charging network. So we started a number of years ago, worked with the government on on various policies, you know, for selling electricity through charge points, right up to all the standards that are needed and the safety standards and stuff that are needed. So by getting in at an early stage, we got to speak with all of the relevant governmental stakeholders and advise a lot on the proper way to go about it and set up the network. And now we've set up the network and we've access to over 3,000 charge points on the island.
Wow.
We look after Northern Ireland as well as the South.
That's really good. And I mean, look, I know you're originally from Newbridge, but EasyGo is based out of Maynooth now. I suppose for people listening in, because sometimes when you hear about people setting up a business and you think, God, that's a great idea, or people have great ideas, but they don't really know how to put them into action. Would you have any advice for anyone who might think, you know, they have a good idea, but they don't know how to go about putting that into a business and moving it forward, Chris?
Yeah, so I think one of the first things to do is just understand a little bit about business and how business works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, managing money is really, really important, you know, and understanding how to manage money and manage money within business. But it's also good to speak with people and speak with people who have worked in starting businesses and business owners. We're very friendly as a nation, Irish people, and we'll talk to anybody. You know, if you're in a pub, you'll talk to the person beside you. You're standing waiting for your pint. But I think Irish people are very shy when it comes to talking about business and talking about, you know, and asking for something. But one thing I learned a good few years ago was always ask.
Mm.
Because if you ask, the worst that can happen is someone will say no.
Yeah.
Or just not engage. But that rarely happens. So if you've got something and you need to know, you need to know the answer, you'd like to know the answer, just ask. I say most Irish people are very friendly, very outgoing and like to talk and talk about their businesses and the things that they've done.
Okay. Yeah, I actually think you're right. As a nation, we're afraid to talk about business money as well. You know, people are very, they're just more reserved in that way. But I saw something a couple of weeks ago actually online, and it said, your network is your net worth. And I thought it was really good. And I'm sure that's probably very true for a business like yours.
It is. It absolutely is. And again, it comes down to, you know, not knowing the answer. But if you know where you can get the answer and you know that you can talk to people within your network to get the answer that you need and bounce ideas off, people are so helpful. It's unbelievable. And I say, I learned that a number of years ago. And it was only then that things started to open up for me when I started to really talk to people. And I'm actually a quite reserved person in general. So, you know, I would have been one of those that was just shy to ask for something.
Mm. Where do you see the business going from here then, Chris? Do you expect to expand further?
Yes, yeah, we're expanding at a very, very fast pace. We're putting fast charge points out. So a year and a half ago, we raised funding. We raised 17 million in funding to put charge points on the streets because they're petrol stations, effectively electric petrol stations for electric cars. And we raised money to be able to put charge points on the streets. We're working with a lot of the councils now to do it. We started in Carlow. Last year, we've now completed a lot of sites in Mayo. We're working in Offaly, we're working in Cavan, and we've, I think, six or seven other counties where we're going to be rolling out charge points in the next 6 months. So we manage those charge points. The country, I think, is going to need thousands of charge points. We're rolling them out at a huge rate every week. But it's going to take us at least another 10 years to fulfil what Ireland needs.
Okay.
From what we do, there's obviously competition for us as well, and others doing what we do as well.
Absolutely. You're one of 8 finalists, but you've been shortlisted from 150 nominations. So, like, it's nothing to be sniffed at, and fair play to you. Like, it's amazing what you've done.
Thank you.
When will you find out, and when is the final? When do we know if you're the Kildare winner? We'll have you back on again, Chris.
Oh, look, you never know, you never know. I think one of the things that was explained to me about the Entrepreneur of the Year programme was as soon as you reach that final stage, you're accepted into the alumni, which is huge in itself.
Amazing.
So everybody receives the very same benefits as what the winner receives.
Okay.
And It's not till later on in the year, towards the end of the year, where the final is. But between now and then, everybody is brought along the journey. For instance, next month, where they're taking us on a CEO retreat to Singapore. With a lot of other business people, as far as I know, there's almost 100 people from the whole program. People who've taken part and been finalists, and as well as prominent business people in Ireland travelling on the trip too. So, and that's just part of that. That's that retreat in May. And then, as I say, being part of the alumni, there's a lot of events, and it brings right back to what you said. It's the work of the network. Mm. And what this does is it broadens your network immensely. So I'm so looking forward to that part of it.
Well, well done, Chris, and best of luck with everything. We wish you the best here in KFM, of course, representing the Lily Whites, originally from Newbridge, I understand, Chris, but based over in North Kildare there in Maynooth now. But that is Chris Kelly, Easy Go, and he has been nominated for the EY Ireland Entrepreneur of the Year. Let us know how you get on, Chris, and we'll speak to you later in the year. Now, I was talking earlier about scientists that they may have found a way to prevent and even reverse hair turning grey. That's according to a new study, and I was saying that I found my first grey hair there a couple of weeks ago, and someone has texted in to say, Cuiva, here's the thing, how do you know it was your first grey hair? Well, true, but like any time I go to the hairdressers, I'd always say to her, like, do you think I should dye my hair? Do I have any greys? And she would say, no, you don't. So there you go. That's how I know. But maybe not. Like, I could be wrong. I have another message in here. When last in London, I saw charge points incorporated into the poles of streetlights. The various county councils could do this around the country when they upgrade lighting infrastructure. That comes in from Sean in Clane, I suppose, in response to Chris Kelly, who's founder of Easy Go, of course, a charging point business. And he's nominated for EY Ireland Entrepreneur of the Year. Sean, I think that's a really good idea, and I wonder, are they looking into that? I think they probably are, if I remember correctly. I think they might be looking into that, but it seems to be a little while off at the moment. Now, there was a bull on the loose which was shot dead by police after charging at parents and children. This was over in the UK. Residents, together with pupils and staff at a school in the Cheshire village of Halsington, were ordered to stay indoors just before 9 a.m. on Wednesday, while the owner of the bull and armed police attempted to bring the animal under control. So, however, officers decided to shoot the animal, which was in an agitated state and presented a danger to the public. Eyewitness Paul Dalton, who was dropping off his grandchildren at the school, posted on Facebook that he heard the commotion behind him and he saw a bull charging up the avenue where his car was parked. He said, when I got back from school, the avenue was blocked by two vans, two trailers and three police cars. I had to wait an hour to recover my car. Luckily, it was undamaged. So that's a little bit scary. Imagine you're just dropping your kids off to school and you see a bull charging at you. Let me know what you think of that one, or if you've ever been in any sticky situations with a bull, or of course any animal. 0833 97 97 97.
Kildare Focus with Cuiva Harney.
Now, fuel prices are at their lowest price since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, but are set to rise by around 20 cents per litre by the end of this year. I'm joined now on the line by Blake Boland. He's multimedia specialist with the AA. Good afternoon, Blake.
Good afternoon, Cuiva. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you, Blake. I suppose it's bittersweet news, really, today, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We've really seen a reduction in fuel prices, especially over the last couple of months, set back again for the April survey that we've just seen. And petrol's back to 159, and we've seen diesel now at 151. So diesel, in fact, is a 9% drop month on month. So they have come back, but as you said, it's bittersweet, and we're expecting them to rise again, unfortunately.
When will we expect to see these hikes then?
Yeah, so it's important also just to get a bit of clarity on that. The prices are going up, yes, but in a sense they're not really hikes. What they are is a phased restoration of those excise cuts that we had previously seen. As we all know, there's a bit of a cost of living crisis going on, and the government took some measures to reduce those prices. So from the 1st of June, we're going to see 6 cents on petrol and 5 cents on diesel. Then on the 1st of September, we're going to see another 7 cents on petrol and another 5 cents on diesel. And then on the 31st of October of this year, we're going to see the full restoration with another 8 cents on petrol and 6 cents on diesel. So if we take the idea that everything stays the same, those additions will bring petrol back to 180 and diesel to 176.
Right, yeah, fairly significant, even with the phased return. Like, it is quite a hit to the motorist, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, it's a large increase. And we've seen over the last year, you know, that there's real volatility in global markets as well. So it's impossible to predict where things are going to go. Will they ease off a little bit? Will prices go back up again? Unfortunately, we can't predict the future.
Mm. Where are we seeing the cheapest petrol and diesel then, Blake?
Well, as you know, like, you go around some of the cities and you can tend to see higher prices, and they're really only varying by a few cents as well. You know, as we have electricity prices for EV drivers as part of that survey, and they see a massive disparity between various locations. But yeah, you're really only going to see a few cents in the difference as you travel around the country.
Okay, so it's not really worth your while to travel to get a cheaper diesel or petrol, because there's not much difference in the end.
There's a small difference. If the garage that's 500 metres down the road is 5 cents, of course you're going to go there. But you do hear some people going out for a weekend excursion and spending more petrol to actually get to that cheaper garage than they've recouped, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's up to the individual to see what's around them, check for the cheapest prices, and they can possibly feed that into their commute during the week.
Okay, that is Blake Boland, multimedia specialist with the AAA. Thanks very much, Blake, for your time. With that news that fuel prices are at their lowest price since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, but unfortunately they are set to rise by around 20 cent per litre by the end of this year. Now, Social Entrepreneurs Ireland are seeking to support people from Kildare with an idea to solve a social problem. And I'm joined now on the line by Lucy Alexia Dube. She's a social entrepreneur. Good afternoon, Lucy.
Good afternoon. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Delighted to have you. Tell us a little bit about this initiative, Lucy.
Okay. So I joined Social Enterprise last year, 2022, the Ideas Academy. So what it is I had a social problem that I thought I could help solve, or some way maybe work with collaboration with other agencies. And sorry about the noise. Sorry. And try and see, could we find a solution to that? So I joined the Social Entrepreneurs Ireland through the Ideas Academy, and I found out that there was a lack in support for parents coming to the country as migrants.
Okay, very interesting. What's astonishing to me, to be honest, is that that you can apply for a place on it, and there's two support programs valued at €500,000. So could you explain that in terms of, like, the monetary gain, I suppose, that you would get from something like this?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the Ideas Academy, what it is that it's actually €40,000 that's split amongst 15 ideas that I've chosen from however many applications. Last year, I think they had 183. They scaled down to 45. And the last 15 actually were entitled to get the split of 20,000 amongst themselves. The social impact now will be slightly higher because you're now scaling. You're from the ideas, you know, develop the idea and you're piloting it and you're scaling it too. So it's slightly higher. But also the other support that's there is for you to have mentorship with alumni from Social Entrepreneurs, and also just one-to-one sessions as well. Just any questions you might have regarding your idea or how to go about governance. So there is so much support there.
Okay. Lucy, can you talk to us about your own social enterprise? Because I know that you set one up yourself and it was quite successful.
Oh, yes. So I am a migrant parent as well, coming from Southern Africa. And I did realize that there was not support in terms of parenting, in terms of acculturation, because, immigration involves a displacement, you know, with significant effects on family life. My family life was affected in that way. And my parenting will be different from the way, you know, I was parented and the way I'm supposed to parent my children here in Ireland. So I just found that there was no support regarding that area. And I wanted some parents who came in and also had the same maybe predicament to find support in my social enterprise, which is called Alexa Press Hub.
Okay, very interesting. And is that still running now? And how is it going?
It is actually still running at the moment. So what happens is I actually do two sessions. I have online session and I have a face-to-face session where it's classes of training and parenting. I find it very interesting because I am learning too in that the face-to-face ones usually are for people who don't have English as a first language. So it's more explaining, it's more role play so that they understand, you know, in terms of communication, the differences between the way we communicate, you know, with our children and the way, you know, it's deemed fit to communicate here, you know, broadly. And then the online training really, it's people who are more competent in the language that don't really need maybe, should I say, translation or slower paced communication.
Okay, very interesting. And it's something like when you say it there now, it's nearly obvious that, you know, as someone coming into a country and with so many cultural differences and changes, the way that you would parent would probably be drastically different to someone in Ireland. Not necessarily wrong, but I suppose it's hard to adjust. So if someone wants to avail of these services that you have so greatly provided, how can they do so?
Okay, so through my website, you can actually book an appointment and have a chat and just see what your needs are. So my website address is www.alexiapresshub.ie.
Okay, Alexia Press Cab, is that it?
Yes, hub.ie.
Hub. Yes. H-U-B.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
So just coming back then to the Social Entrepreneurs Ireland and maybe for people listening in now and they've been inspired by you, Lucy, saying, God, I see maybe a gap in the market here in Kildare. How do they go about setting this up and I suppose getting the application together?
Yeah. So the Ideas Academy will be my first point of call, really, because that's where your idea is more like developed into the next stage. And any idea really is feasible. And I wouldn't put away anything to think maybe it might not work. How it works and how far these people work is dependent on the person that's actually founding it and launching this. So I don't think that there's any bad idea. You just have to be confident enough to say you want to see change and you want to try and solve it.
Okay, so if anyone wants to head on to that website, it's socialentrepreneurs.ie or on the Eventbrite page. And applications for the Ideas Academy are open until midnight on Tuesday, the 16th of May. Applications for the Impact Programme close at midnight on Tuesday, May the 30th. And like I said there, all the information can be found on socialentrepreneurs.ie. That is Lucy Alexia Jube. She is a social entrepreneur. And thank you very much to Lucy for joining us and thanks to her for her time. Now, I'm seeing something really interesting here online and when I first say it, you're going to say it doesn't sound too good, but a retired builder has told how his dog potentially saved his leg by chewing his toe to the bone while he was asleep. David Lindsay was taking a nap on his sofa when his wife's scream woke him up and he looked down to find that his seven-month-old bulldog puppy had been nibbling on his foot so much that his toe had been fractured and was covered in blood. But however, in a strange turn of events, it turns out Harley the dog was an unlikely hero. The 64-year-old father of five told Wales Online, "I was asleep on the couch when my wife walked in and shouted, 'Dave, the puppy's chewing your toe.' My puppy had near enough chewed my big toe off. It chewed it down to the bone and cracked it. But because of all of this, I discovered that my foot is completely numb and I can't feel anything. After being rushed to hospital, doctors told him he had lost the feeling in his feet due to two blocked arteries in his legs. He was warned if the blood supply was not returned, he risked losing his leg. Specialists are now seeing if he can have stents fitted that would open up the arteries and allow the blood flow to return to his leg." David from Cambridge added, "You've got to laugh about it. He's done me a favour by chewing my toe. So I'm waiting to find out if they can put stents in, and I'll be keeping the dog. I'll try to keep my toe too, but if not, I told the doctor to cut it off and I can take it home for him. So he's going to give his toe to the dog. An unlikely turn of events there, but something that did save his life, I suppose, in the end. It's a very strange one. And in another funny story here, this is on Sky News. A pair have admitted to removing a penis and a nipple of a man accused of filming castrations for eunuch maker website. So the defendants are alleged to have performed extreme body modifications, including the removal of his nether regions. Procedures were allegedly filmed and uploaded to this website, and this is obviously a warning. It is quite graphic, this article. The nurse Nathan Arnold from South Kensington, West London, admitted the partial removal of this man's nipple in the summer of 2019 and stealing medicine from the hospital where he worked in 2016. Damien Burns from Tottenham, North London, admitted removing this man's nether regions on the 18th of February 2017. Arnold, 48, and Burns, 35, pleaded guilty at the Old Bailey on Wednesday to causing grievous bodily harm with intent to castrate this man, 45-year-old Gustavin. And Arnold was also pleading guilty to the theft of local anaesthetic lidocaine from the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital and accepted a further offence of possessing extreme pornography. A shocking story there. I have a message in there from David Brown, and this man said he was not asleep. Laughy face, laughy face, laughy face. Yeah, David, I think just in relation to the previous article that I read there about the man having his toe chewed off by a dog, he was asleep, but obviously turned out that he had no feeling in his toe. But like, that just goes to show you with dogs, like, I don't know, did the dog know that there was no blood flow to the toe, or if the dog actually just went for his toe? But sometimes dogs can be quite intuitive like that. I find it with my own dog that she kind of knows when I'm sad or I'm feeling down, or if I'm happy, she's running around like a lunatic. So dogs usually know more than us humans do. They can sense things. But that's all I have time for today. I'll be back at the same time tomorrow.